Well, our next guest is an author, journalist, feminist and commentator, not necessarily in that order. Laurie Penny has been writing in the public sphere since the age of 19, and now just over a decade later, she's authored innumerable articles and six books, including her most recent, Bitch Doctrine, Essays for Dissenting Adults, published just a few weeks ago. She's in Australia for the Sydney School of Life, delivering a talk tomorrow evening simply titled Laurie Penny on Freedom. Laurie, a very good morning to you.
Morning. How are you doing?
I'm very well, thank you. Now, freedom is such a broad topic to be attacking, and I think from a first world point of view,
attacking freedom, that's a bit of a tall order for Monday morning.
It is a very tall order, and I think freedom is often a very personal concept as well. So what does freedom look like to Laurie Penny?
Oh my goodness. This is a wide topic, and I think one of the reasons it's called On Freedom is it gives us a chance to talk about really whatever we want, because freedom is, as you say, people have used the word freedom to refer to all kinds of different things, and the sense of liberty, the idea of liberty is different for everyone.
Mm.
But I do think it's an interesting word, because it's one of those words that has been sort of tortured and twisted and turned into its opposite, particularly by people in positions of power. That's why that's how you can have a military invasion of another country titled Operation Enduring Freedom. And sometimes what people mean by freedom is simply the rule of law in their own nation, or the exporting of that rule of law. I don't know if you... I think sometimes that... I think we're approaching a stage where the word freedom has been expanded until it almost loses all of its meaning, which is very sad.
It is very sad. And I notice in, you know, kind of contemporary debates, it's freedom of speech that gets mentioned so much. And I always find it interesting to talk to people who are not from Australia, because, of course, we out here have no constitutionally enshrined protections around free speech. And I wonder, does that make us less free?
We don't really have them in Britain either.
Oh.
And what's interesting about the freedom of speech debate is it's happening on extremely American terms, because obviously in the US they have their First Amendment, and that is it's an incredibly important part of their national culture, how that is interpreted. But often freedom of speech is used today as a kind of stand-in for talking about the discomfort people feel at being criticized for holding certain opinions. What freedom of speech really means is if you can say whatever you like or whatever you think, and your government can't put you in prison or deny you a job, you are protected from state persecution and physical persecution. What freedom of speech does not mean is you can say whatever you like to whoever you like, and nobody is allowed to criticize you, and there will be no consequences. So this is how we get to the stage where people with racist or misogynist ideas can say the most vile, disgusting things, and then when people turn around and say, hey, that's a bit vile and a bit disgusting, they say, oh, no, you can't say that, you're attacking my freedom of speech.
People forget that freedom also implies my freedom to say that your ideas are a bit shit.
Absolutely, yes.
Now, let's talk about a free press as well, because it's been a bit over a year since you wrote I'm With The Band. I think some of the best gonzo writing about the Trump campaign that I've actually read, I loved it. Are we less free to have that style of writing in the kind of era of Trumpism? Sorry.
Okay. No. This is a complicated answer, and I'm trying to think of how to put it best. Again, on a Monday morning, journalism is under attack around the world. Mm. That is not up for debate. There are many, many countries in the world where journalists run a far higher risk of persecution and imprisonment than they do in the United States, in Australia, in Great Britain, where I'm from. But one thing that the Trump administration is doing, and it's not alone, is that it's worked out a way of discrediting and undermining the power of the press without ever having to lock up a single journalist and create martyrs in that way. This idea of fake news, what it actually does is if you call things fake enough, and if you cast that question mark over an entire industry, it doesn't matter what people say, because it makes people mistrust what they're seeing and what they're reading. And you see this happen in Russia as well. Russia provides the playbook, obviously, for a great deal of what's happening in the U.S. right now. But when state and, you know, covert state organizations in Russia pump out real fake news, they're not always and only pumping out pro-Kremlin propaganda. Some of what they're putting out is anti-Kremlin propaganda, even though they are the Kremlin. The idea is not to put out a positive view of the Russian state. The idea is to flood the market with enough fake and semi-fake stories that nobody can really trust anything they see or believe or hear anymore. Nobody knows what to believe. And that is a much more dangerous climate for journalists in general.
It's about destabilizing the entire legitimacy of the profession.
Absolutely.
Terrifying stuff. Laurie Penny, you will be getting more in depth with this tomorrow night at the Sydney School of Life when you talk about On Freedom. Thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you.
That was Laurie Penny there. As I said, catch her at the Sydney School of Life on September 5. That's tomorrow. We'll have a link up on the 2SER.com website.